Welcome to season 6 of the Not Your Mama's Autism podcast, a podcast about neurodivergence told both through the eyes of our family, the Ollies, and through the lens of the greater global neurodivergent community. I'm Lola Dada Ollie. We hope you enjoy this episode we have lined up for you. So, with that in mind, let's get started.
Hello, everyone. As you know, I'm Lola. This is my husband, Shoshang. And we thought we'd talk about an especially light topic today. Adolescence, the start of adolescence, the tween period of life, and autism. So when we started the podcast, we had, that was 3 years ago, we had a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. We had elementary school children, and now we have a 12 and 10-year-old. And they both have their share of sensory differences, sensory challenges sometimes. And now that we're entering into this space, we're taking two different approaches. Our 12-year-old, who's now in the heat of middle school, he's verbal. He very much understands some things that his sister doesn't. So that approach is more books and very frank conversations about things like body changes and things like that. Whereas a little baby girl, we're taking on a different approach. We're seeking more medical help, medical intervention, and that's because for those of us who are new to our podcast, our baby girl, who's 10, is minimally verbal, uses an AAC device to communicate. She's autistic and intellectually disabled. She's about cognitively about 3 years old while being chronologically 10. So we are approaching things a little bit differently with her. And obviously she's a girl, so obviously those changes are different than her brothers. And I'm glad that I'm married to a diehard both boy dad and girl dad, because this is very much a team. This is very much a team effort. So, Sun, do you want to kind of take the floor when it comes to we sought out an endocrinologist and why we did that?
Yeah, I think what you said about approaching differently for Fella and Alero just highlights what everyone says. If you've met one kid on the spectrum, you've met one person on the spectrum. With Fella, I think the seeds that were planted over the last couple of years, in order to make sure that he understands that he can come tell us or explore any topic with us without recrimination or shame or, a reaction that puts him into his shell, I think has put us in a good place with him as he changes, his voice is changing, body changes, and what have you. And obviously we don't have that with Alero, as she can tell us what she's going through. So we go into more of a predictive, prescriptive, anticipatory stance. Visited the endocrinologist a year ago in anticipation of puberty and everything that comes with a female child undergoing those transitions, and got confirmation in doing this recent visit that puberty has started. So that was a bit of a whoa. let's go. And what does that look like for a minimally verbal child? with sensory challenges, who is going to be hit by multiple new sensations internally and externally, you know, and how best can we, what steps can we take 2, 3, 4 steps down the road and before the full onslaught of all those hormonal changes come, you know, comes through.
Which is why we were referred to an endocrinologist.
Right.
Right. Things off. Yeah.
You know, and for me, from the daddy's perspective, it's a bit coming into it with a learning as you go. You know, my only daughter, you know, I'm not my first daughter. So don't have experience in this. So you're coming in with a very open-minded, learn as you go. The endocrinologist's advice was more around, okay, how was mama's transition through that? What's the history, the family history? Which opens up a different chapter in the book in terms of how culturally we don't document history as well as we probably should.
Yeah, medical history.
Medical history, yeah. But that's the mindset. Luckily, we are in community. I think we're the only ones with the girl on the spectrum.
Yeah, and in our Texas community. Well, with the exception of we do have someone who has an older daughter who's now an adult. But when it comes to a child who's about to transition into puberty, mm-hmm. we have a bunch of friends with boys on the spectrum, but nobody in this current state around us locally.
Right. Right. So there's the and the dog just came in. Well, we may or may not cut that out.
Yeah. Our real life.
That's it. But my mindset is, you know, from a learner's mindset, will intend to reach out to friends who I know are active girl dads, you know, whether neurotypical daughters or not. Obviously, I lean on our Texas mama and our Texas papa, who has an older daughter who is neurodivergent. And they've already been working with us as in anticipation of this part of the journey, but also just continue to talk man to man, like, you know, what do you know now that you wish you had known earlier? What should I anticipate? What should I prepare for? And give ourselves grace.
Absolutely.
You know, give ourselves a wide swath of grace.
I'm reminded by when our kids were much younger, when we first moved to Texas, you know, I was under the mistaken, you know, assumption that as the kids grew older, things would get easier in quotes. And I remember more seasoned mom laughing in my face and telling me, haven't you ever heard that the bigger the kid, the bigger the problem? And it makes me think about, you know, when I was transitioning into adolescence, and I'm neurotypical, and it was difficult for my dad. I remember when it happened, my mom wasn't home, she was working, and you could just see that deer caught in headlights. And he told me to go find my mom, and I ended up at work. She was like an hour away. So I ended up calling an aunt to kind of walk me through the beginnings of that process. So looking at that, and then even trying to put an intellectual disability lens, and then putting an autism lens on top of that, the layers have layers, right? So definitely giving ourselves grace is really important.
It's really, really important. So we're looking at having our medical community help us
navigate,
informed choices. We are now being referred to a gynecologist because the reason why we started at age 9, because our daughter's 10, Mike Tosin said that was her first major endocrinologist appointment, and it was to take a blood test to see if the puberty stage has started. Because from there, Alero's doctor told us that we have about a 2-year-ish window from there where her first menstruation could come, her first period could come. So knowing that, that gives us now somewhat of a time frame to work with her private therapy team to get her as sensory ready as possible. So what does that look like for those that are going through similar phases, or maybe with their daughter, the phase is right around the corner? I reached out to a mom in another state who's actually part of our season one, who has a daughter who's now a full-on teenager who's neurodivergent. And she told me to invest in things like period panties instead of the maxi pads, because sometimes sensory-wise that could be an issue, over tampons as well for similar sensory challenges. So we're arming ourselves to make those type of purchases and to have our occupational therapist help us start that process so that her body can get used to those type of items physically touching her body. So it's not as foreign of an experience when it does happen. And that's just one example.
Telling us when she's wet.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So those are the type of things we're starting to put together, knowing that we have this window of time, at least according to science. There are always surprises that could occur, but at least we're trying to get as prepared as we can be. Another option that's possible is our daughter taking a shot that would completely stop menstruation altogether. That's also an option that we're looking at. Of course, that brings in other issues like bringing a rush of hormones into her body in addition to the hormones that are now, you know, coming during this time. So we're thinking about that. We're looking into that. But there are options. Like we said, like I said, we were referred to a gynecologist. So that's the next step, is to kind of go through those detailed options.
Yeah. And I think the framework that we always approach things like this with is remains the same, is what, well, two things. 30 years from now, if we can look back and know that we did what we could with what we knew, what we had, we can live with the outcomes. And two, what is in the best long-term interest of the 30, 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old Alero? And if those two decision frameworks intersect, then, you know, then that's the right move for us. that's the right move for us. So, it's a different a new chapter.
Yeah.
Never a dull moment.
No. Oh, I wanted to also talk about, you know, the changes in her body. So we've started and we've been working with the therapy team, getting her more comfortable with wearing bras, starting off with sports bras for that very reason, because it's a new article of clothing, constantly touching her body, squeezing parts of her body underneath the shirt. So we've been doing that now for close to a year, and that's been positive.
That's been positive.
Well, those are just examples of how we're trying to get her ready for those parts of womanhood that are, quite frankly, sometimes feels annoying to everybody.
Right. And then probably more amplified for her.
Amplified for her. So, yeah.
And the therapy has incorporated a lot more self-service, independent, you know, for her knowing, understanding that the journey or the goal is for her to be able to do as much as she can for herself, communicate as much as she can, or advocate, quite frankly, as much as she can for herself through whatever method of communication that she feels is available to her at that time, sign, the AAC device, whatever it may be. And for us as parents, I think our job is to remove as many obstacles, knowing that we won't get them all, right? As many obstacles for along her path, you know, and become, and we do that by becoming students of Alero, and not ever thinking that we fully know her. Because
fully master.
Well, fully master.
Because elementary Alero is different than tween Alero.
The pre-tween Alero that is manifesting is interesting. It's a weird mix of I'm independent, but I'm dependent on you. No. / I don't want to be around you all, but I need you to take me in my car drives because that is what I want.
Yes. If she could drive herself, she would. Because there are some days she just looks at us like, I just want to be alone.
Yeah.
Why are you people here? Yeah.
So that's a learning, like, you know, trying to decipher in our non-medical minds what is preteen and what is autism.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's, and you do that by constant communication with the therapist. Like, what are you seeing? This is what we're seeing. What are you seeing? This is what we're seeing. In your experience, what does this look like?
And as well as communication with her, because her communication is also budding in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
When she doesn't like something, she definitely lets you know now more than she did when she was younger. So we're using that to help us decipher, particularly when she's in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a family history of, you know, tougher periods. So I have that in mind, thinking of her. And I want her to be able to communicate to us clearly when she's in pain so that we can help.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, one of her goals that she's trying to master is communicating emotion correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, sad, frustrated, happy, angry.
And pointing to what body parts
are exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So all of that journey, tight coordination with the therapist, is in anticipation of this phase coming. Knowing fully well that we're probably going to miss something, and that's okay. You know, the joke is we've pivoted so many times; our ankles are thick, and muscular. So, you know, keep the ankles flexible, be ready to twist and turn.
Absolutely. And it's a different approach again to our son. And that goes back to pivoting is not only pivoting with her, it's also pivoting with our son. Malak will be such a different child in that way when it comes to communication. So we're trying to, in real time, the best we can, again, giving ourselves grace, helping them navigate through this next life change in the best way we know how, based on the information we have.
He's in full preteen mode.
Yeah.
About to be a teen in a couple months.
Yeah, the end of the year.
Very full preteen mode, neurotypical in some areas. And when you think, but if you make the mistake of approaching certain things that are coming up from a neurotypical standpoint, you see the neurodivergence very quickly. And you know, you got to modify, you got to meet him where he is, meet him in a way that that he can understand exactly what is being asked of him, and understand that you're going to have to repeat that thing 700 times before it catches.
Some parents of neurotypical
kids would also argue that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a different phase. He's a little more easier distracted now, and I think it's because he's managing different things.
Sensory challenges at this phase.
He's having to self-regulate a lot more.
Yeah.
But to your point, I don't need to imagine because I used to be a preteen, but if I can remember, the buffeting of hormones and feelings and whatever else is hitting him, he's having to self-regulate a lot more.
And for him, that's physical, jumping. He used to be pacing a little bit when he was younger, but we have a trampoline both inside and outside. And before he gets ready for school, he'll go and jump outside to focus and regulate. And I love that because there's a lot of self-awareness there now.
Yeah.
It shows that level of maturity that, okay, I'm about to focus on school, I'm about to focus on something important. When he was younger, he used to call it, I need to get my wiggles out. Now that he's older, he might think wiggles is not cool anymore. So I don't know what he's going to use, but that form of self-regulation, him using it as a tool in this way, is something that we're really proud about.
Yeah. And we also, we love that he can come to us pretty much with anything, but also looking to give him additional through therapies. Additional avenues for him to
with the social aspect of my school, which can be challenging. So yes, we do have, he does have his own therapy for that.
So in essence it's just a you know, never a dull moment. Once we quote unquote stabilize on the rhythm that is fully teen for both of them, you know, another phase is going to open
up.
Absolutely. The young adulthood will happen. And then we'll be here. Well, if God wills, we'll be here.
By God's grace, one day at a time.
Continue to learn, fail fast, pivot. Learn again.
Breathe.
Drink more coffee.
Yeah.
And
we got a new coffee maker. It's excellent.
Dead coffee.
Excellent. For this phase.
I don't think coffee will ever not be needed in any phase. I don't think so. But also find understanding for us, outlets for us, outlets in terms of community, outlets in terms of whatever review self-care looks like. Because the one thing I've realized more and more is any feeling that you or thought that you are walking this journey alone, or having to figure this out by yourself, is crippling, and that almost feels like I don't want to use the word death knell, but I guess, you know, just almost like a mental death knell. So we ask questions.
Yeah.
We reach out intentionally and just ensure that we know that this life is not meant to be walked alone. And like you're doing here, as we learn, we'll share.
Yeah.
And if it works for one, maybe it works for somebody else. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't.
And if any of you out there have suggestions you want to share with us, please feel free.
That's those numbers.
Thank you. Thank you in advance.
Yeah. This is our first time being parents of preteens.
A preteen girl. A preteen girl and a preteen boy.
Yep. On that note.
On that note, let's get some coffee.
Let's get some coffee.
Signing down. Thank you.
Not Your Mama's Autism podcast is written and produced by my mom, Lila Dada Ollie, and is occasionally produced by me, Fella Ollie. My dad and sister also contribute sometimes. Big thanks to Anna Lee Ackerman for her audio and video editing support. Until next time, everyone, see you soon.